Hey, dads. Welcome back to I'm Sorry, Dad podcast.
Do you think dads listen to this?
No. I bet like 1% of our listeners are dads.
I think my dad listens to it.
There we go.
Yeah, and he's just making sure that every episode you don't fuck me because I'm, you know, recording with a 33-year-old man.
Hmm.
You know?
I don't quite get that. 33-year-old men fuck dudes?
23-year-old boys.
Oh.
Well, not all 33-year-old men. Just you.
Hmm. Okay. On this episode, we got a good episode today with Drew Lynch from America's Got Talent and stand-up comedy, and he's got dog vlogs on the YouTube, so you're going to enjoy that. I wanted to say, Brandon, I just wanted to tell you.
Go ahead.
That Drew will be on my stand-up show at the Hollywood Improv December 6th.
Oh, you're telling me this, but not the thousands of people listening?
It just happens to be recording.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, That's just all. Go ahead and tell me then, yeah.
Yeah, and then also...
Everybody else shut your ears. This is just for me to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone listening, just turn off the podcast because this is just for me.
Absolutely. You know who else has said he's going to do the show?
Who?
Jamie Kennedy. You know him?
Jamie Kennedy?
Yeah.
From the Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
You got it. And from Malibu's Most Wanted, Scream. He was in Scream.
Oh.
That was a good movie.
Nice. He was in Scream 4 as well.
Was he?
He was. It's a good film.
He didn't die in Scream 1?
No.
Was he really in Scream 4?
Oh, no. He wasn't. That was David Arquette.
Funny you mentioned that. David Arquette's doing my show.
Oh shit, okay.
No, just kidding. But December 6th,
Courtney
Hollywood...
Cox.
Don't interrupt me.
Courtney Cox.
Oh,
Cox. It's pretty sweet.
December 6th, Hollywood Improv. Drew Lynch, Jamie Kennedy, and your boy Radun. And I'll be putting more names up there as well. What else? Oh yeah, we got a YouTube page.
We have a YouTube channel now.
If you're watching it, that means you already know. But for most of you still listen on iTunes, so check us out on YouTube. Subscribe. It is youtube.com/I'm Sorry Dad.
Mm.
So check it out. It's super riveting video. It's like three people sitting down talking.
In a stagnant shot that doesn't move.
Yeah.
And the quality is very low.
But
and people sometimes look at the camera a lot of the time. And sorry.
I mean, you know, you're not really selling this very well.
Oh, sorry. Fuck. Let's just do it over.
All right. Welcome to I'm Sorry, Dad podcast. Oh, that's funny. It's so funny. Subscribe to us on YouTube, and we'll get better equipment. You know, we'll start making money in the pod. We should sign to a network. We should talk about that. But what will help us get better equipment is if you keep rating and reviewing the pod, tell a friend, subscribe to YouTube. I just submitted us to Spotify, which I believe will be accepted because we are who we are, and we're amazing.
Huh. I mean, you do have a statue over there, you know, that says world's greatest person ever.
Yep. So do all that. Subscribe to our YouTube, youtube.com/I'm Sorry Dad. Check me out December 6th at the Hollywood Improv. And what else? Rate and review the pond.
Yes.
And also follow us on social media. BJ Calvillo.
Yep.
And Rydune.
Mm.
Enjoy this episode with Drew Lynch. Yeah. Our guest today, none other than comedian Drew Lynch.
Sorry.
Drew, thanks for being here.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Of course. I just watched all of your America's Got Talent content.
Oh, man.
Just this morning. Got to say, I can't believe you went that far on the show. Not funny.
Ow.
JK.
Ow. JK. This isn't doing a podcast with my parents. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. No.
For...
thank you for the insult. No, super funny. Very endearing. Are you getting tired of people saying you're so likable?
No, I mean, that's
yeah, I want people to say they hate me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's better than the alternative, but yeah, I think people say that a lot just cuz, you know, my speech is something that has opened myself to being susceptible to vulnerability and so using that on stage, I guess is that can be a strength as much as it can be a weakness. So I think the key is to be vulnerable on stage, but not vulnerable in relationships. Uh-huh. That's how you don't get hurt, and that's how you succeed, I think.
All right, so you're nice on stage, and then a complete closed-off asshole to girls. To bitches.
To bitches.
To all the bad bitches. That's my fucking, that's my problem.
And speaking of being likable and stuff, I saw on AGT that you said in the first episode, like, I used to be a jerk.
Right, right.
So you used to be kind of an asshole?
Yeah, that's actually kind of a true thing. Like, it's not that, like, I was a bad person, but I think just the way that I used humor was a little bit different. It didn't have, and it was a different prerogative. Like, I used to, like, growing up, I used to people use it for all different kinds of reasons, but for me, it was just a kind of isolate other people, so as to put the attention on them by making them feel, you know, insecure or lesser, in a, you know, by poking fun or make, you know, it's like bullying, I guess, in a way. But, you know, that way no one could really make fun of me for whatever I was dealing with when I was in school. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of interesting to have the injury that I had happen to me happened just because it was such a humbling thing, you know, since I lost a lot of the functionality of my motor skills when that happened. So that's why I talk the way I talk now. And that leaves you with a very apparent thing to address in the room or with anybody. And that's a good way to, I don't know, it's changed. Now, by me saying, oh, I can make fun of myself, or I can point out this insecurity, then it's no longer, you know, by means of someone at the expense of someone else's feelings, you know.
Right, right. And so, Brandon, you probably don't know. Wait, scoot closer to me, buddy.
Oh man, you guys are so cute, man.
He always says this on the couch, and it's a little strange
weird,
to me.
Man.
So just get a little closer.
I thought I saw this couch before. This was the one that was in his casting office.
You got it.
Yeah, dude.
You got
that
it.
Was how
See
I
the
got.
Stains?
That was how I got this gig.
With that said, please take off your top. Great. Now turn around. Now slowly pull down your underwear. Can you tell I've seen these videos? Whoopsie. Whoop, doop, doop, doop. You guys want to watch porn right now?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I mean,
this just cuts to the rest of the podcast is just us hearing us jerking off watching porn.
Yeah, dude.
That's the rest of it.
I have kind of like a silent jerk off. Like, it's not like a loud one, I don't think.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, mine's kind of like I don't.
It's like a church mouse.
Yeah, like I don't want, yeah, like God. I don't want God to, yeah.
Yeah, I get that, man.
Yeah,
I hear that.
Yeah, mine's just like a thunderous train running through the state, like, you know?
Dude.
Yeah.
I've heard Brandon jerk off before, and it's just a lot of screaming.
Dude, I've jerked him off before.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
Was, dude, it was so, it was like people were moshing, and it was.
It's crazy. Like, bats just come out of nowhere.
I remember that.
Yeah,
remember
just
that.
Start flying around.
I remember that. That was a
wow.
Weird,
yeah.
A weird cave.
Tornado happens outside. There was a tornado that happened in Arizona.
You can kind of summon natural disasters with your genitals. I think that's crazy, man.
That's
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. I caused Katrina.
Wow, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's not very nice of you. Anyways.
That wasn't.
I didn't mean to, but I just had to do it that day, you know?
Because you were really horny.
I
get it.
It's not my fault what happens to the world once I pound it out.
In fact, I jerked off right before you guys came, right where Drew's sitting.
Yeah. Nice.
Just kidding.
That's why it's tough to get up.
Yeah.
I actually heard that semen's very good for your skin.
You've been talking about that a lot lately.
Yeah, he actually has. Yeah. I feel like I have to talk about it because I've been doing it for the past like couple weeks.
Do you like jerk off hanging upside down?
Yeah. Just
like lift your head up.
Oh well, no, I don't use my own. Well, I don't use. You don't can't use your own,
Jason's.
Oh
yeah.
You can't use your own.
No. I can't use my own. And also with Jason's, I mean, I feel like you're dancing around the elephant in the room. Rye jerks off on my face.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah. You're up next.
Oh okay.
Anyways, we've gotten off on a jerk-off
yeah,
tangent.
Yeah, okay.
I want to talk more about Drew.
Okay, sorry.
Behind
sorry.
His back, so please
right.
leave and go
okay,
jerk off.
Yeah, sure, man.
Go jerk off in the bathroom.
All right, someone summon me, Brandon. Summon me.
Summon you?
Summon me as the, because I'm a natural disaster, so just summon me.
Bats flying.
Yeah. Tornado.
So I wanted to tell Brandon that you probably don't know how Drew got the stutter. Do you?
No, I don't.
Drew, can you tell us?
Dollar Tree.
Are you
I bought it. No. I was playing a shortstop on a softball team like six years ago, seven years ago, and a grounder hit me in the throat, from which I fell and hit my head, and I had a concussion with a vocal contusion, and I went to sleep on the concussion, and then I woke up the I woke up the next day, and so now I. Now I have a career, so there it goes.
So it was a combination of a bruise in your vocal cords and concussion.
Yeah, so I damaged a lot of the nerves in my vocal cords, so I have nerve damage, and it was mostly the concussion that you know, because when you're not, they always talk about don't go to sleep on a concussion. You can go into a coma, or you can you know, lose a lot of your you know, memories or motor skills or just whatever. So
did you know had a concussion?
No,
you didn't know.
Otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't have made the conscious decision to go to sleep. But I didn't. I definitely did not know I was. So they sent me home. And I went to sleep, and then the next day, like, I don't remember much of, but my roommate like rushed me to the hospital, and he was saying that I was pretty incoherent in what I was saying.
Wait, so you went to the doctors and they sent you home?
No, I didn't go to the doctor. Yeah, like several different specialists come see me. So I had like speech pathologists, therapists, there was like neurologists and stuff like that, because it's not at all certainly a common injury. So that was it. It was funny because I moved out here to do like acting. Mm. So I wanted to do like, you know, that and stuff, and I had done like some Disney shows and stuff like that. So,
this is before the injury?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
And then. When that happened, like my agent and manager at the time, they dropped me, and they were like,
dropped you?
Yeah, they were like, we can't. Well, they weren't holding me.
I know.
They dropped me and made the stutter worse.
Yeah, it made it way worse. It was two concussions in an hour. No, they were. What's up, Kitty? They were. Raya's a cat that runs rampant.
Sorry, I just figured I needed to explain that. What's up, Kitty? So it's not like
just
random. What's up, Kitty?
Just random. Sorry. I just got a match on Tinder.
What's up? Your name's Kitty.
Yeah. So they were like, we couldn't represent you anymore. We can't represent you anymore. You don't have the control of your voice, and nobody wants to represent someone who is disabled, I guess. So I was like, damn.
Yeah, that's
fucked up, man.
That sucks. Yeah. So yeah, were you like super angry at the world after the injury?
Yeah, I was. I was pretty devastated, just because like acting was all that I wanted to do ever since I was a kid. And so when I would always talk very fast, you know, I was very loquacious. That's a good word.
Wow, I've actually never heard that. What does that mean? Just talking fast?
I don't know.
It means fixing your car.
Okay, can we edit Brandon questioning me out, please? Okay. So I was very talkative, and it forced me to kind of become like, I was definitely grew up very extroverted, and now I would say I'm very in introverted and not as you know, not as
loquacious.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you don't seem introverted. You seem pretty extroverted. Is that what you're saying?
Well, this is a podcast.
Oh yeah, it's true. It's true.
That's funny. I can tell you're kind of an introvert. Just even though we were at a comedy club and like we're not really allowed to talk.
Right.
But I think Drew might be kind of shy, and I asked our buddy Vinny Fastline.
Yeah.
I was just asking about you. He was like, "Is Drew shy?" He was like, "Nah, not really." And I was like, "Oh, I guess he hates me."
Yeah. I did. You guys are both right, but if I'm with friends or whatever, like just hanging out or you know whatever, obviously chatty then. But like, I just mean like, I think what elicits someone to chat with another person who they do not know, I think that's, or you know, or just be friend, like I'm just very insecure, probably pretty still I'm not as insecure certainly as I used to be, but just insecure a little bit about situations that I don't, you know, which is why like comedy is so scary, is just because you don't know how it's going to end up. And you know, by forcing yourself to do it, it makes inevitably your comfort zone grow.
What, yeah, but what I meant by the introvert, like you don't seem introverted, is that you, because you do stand up, don't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like you have to be sort of out, I mean, not outgoing, but you have to have a certain level of confidence on the stage in order to do that.
Yeah, but I think it's, you know? I think it's
I understand there's
that
a difference between like getting on there and then getting off. I know it's totally different, but like,
sure.
You know, like I can't do stand up because I don't have
it's not funny.
Yeah. And also I don't have confidence in the getting up there, you know?
Right. Well, it's not even about the confidence so much as it's just about the drive to want to succeed.
Yeah.
You're the drive to propel yourself into something successful or something more is what essentially puts you out there. Like I don't have any confidence really on none. Like I guess you have to have some level of confidence, but I just mean I'm not like wildly confident about, you know, that or myself or the experience, but you just have to be crazy enough to be like, well, like when, like for me, the way I think about it is when I was told I couldn't act anymore because I couldn't garner representation from anybody, that was when that door became closed. So it became apparent to me that I had to do something else and kind of enthrall myself with it in order to, I guess, succeed at it or get to do podcasts.
Yeah.
Welcome.
What I mean.
Welcome to the big leagues.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Dude. Great.
It's going to take off from here, man.
You think?
It's going to fucking take off from this. Yeah, you know, what was his name? Louis C.K. was on this podcast.
Yep.
Back.
Is that his name? Are you sure that's his name? Is that, it Louis? It's the C. It's C.K.?
Oh, C.K.
I thought it was
Louis.
Yeah.
Just Louis.
Yeah.
That's weird, because, I mean, they always say C.K. on his specials. And
that's weird.
Just even in the show.
That's weird that they would pronounce so many things incorrectly.
Yeah, that's, I know. Weird. It's weird. You should get in there and have him change it.
Yeah, for sure. So he did it, and then who else?
He did it. Aziz Ansari did this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know
else?
Any of these. I don't know any of these.
He was
people.
A big
Spielberg.
Spielberg did it too.
Even like directors. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Obama.
I don't know
was
singers
on
either. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know singers.
What about Obama? He was on it.
Yeah, he was on it.
This is before the whole thing.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know. I know Osama, but I don't know the.
Yep.
I don't know the
him too.
He was on it too.
That guy's the famous. Bengali.
ISIS
was on it.
Yeah. ISIS. The
ISIS
whole.
Is one guy. Oh, that wasn't ISIS. Anyways, those were fun. Those were fun jokes.
Yeah. I thought we were gonna run with it for 40 more minutes.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you even need an agent to like succeed in Hollywood? Is that? I've had an agent and they don't really do anything.
Well, I wouldn't want your agent, but yeah. I think. I think honestly, there's some people that do, and there's some people that don't. Like, I think eventually, like, I think Bill Burr gave some advice. He had said that you don't need an agent right now. You need an agent for when someone needs to like manage. Like your book. So he was kind of referring to, I guess he didn't have one for a very long time until he started to accumulate a lot of dates and
right,
a lot of
right.
works and a lot of work and stuff. So then I think that they're helpful in being like starting to manage your calendar and stuff
right.
like that. But I am very grateful for my agent. He brings in, I guess, a lot of work in terms of also routing. So if I'm in a place, he'll be like, here's a gig for, you know, that's in that area the day before. So
nice.
Here's an additional,
yeah,
you know,
awesome.
$30.
And how long have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing about six years.
Nice.
Jeez.
Cool.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 5.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a grind, as you know.
Yeah.
And you're headlining?
Yeah, yeah, I headline now. But, you know, I was doing colleges before I did America's Got Talent, and those require you to do, you know, 45 minutes to
right.
an hour also. So
yeah,
they
yeah.
were, you know, my first year of getting into colleges, which was ostensibly 6 or 7 months after my injury. So I had, like, no material. So then
right.
I submitted to get showcases for these places, which were going to be for the fall afterwards. So 1 year after my injury, I was auditioning for these colleges at these conferences, and so that year was just the busiest year in terms of writing, because if I was going to even get accepted into performing at these colleges, yeah. I had to have 45 to an hour.
Yeah, dude. I did a college once, just like not through NACA or not through the conference stuff. It was just a college asked me to perform, and I had like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I had to stretch it to 45.
Yeah. So how'd you do?
It was good.
I'm sure you did it good.
It was loose and conversational because I had to stretch.
Yeah.
But I also wrote like...
it's so loose.
It's like, hello. How are you? I wrote like 15 minutes of a video segment because I was known for videos.
Right.
So I wrote like a interactive video segment where I talked to myself.
Well...
stuff. I can't really explain it, but...
I remember a trick I did was I used to research the school, yeah, on the way over, like the trip over.
Yeah.
I would research the school and I would try to riff on like the mascot or try to, yeah, like on that or the piece of trivia that they had or whatever.
Definitely.
Do you guys find these are colleges, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys find that colleges are like really hard to do stand up at, considering like
I only did one. It wasn't hard for me. They were cool.
Well,
they were
Ryan's right, he's talented, so I can't. It's different. I think. They are, it's different because you have to have some kind of joke. You have to have jokes that, like, when I first started out, also colleges, like, college kids in their mind, I feel like they're not as open to you unless you have some kind of traction in how established you are.
Yeah.
Like, in their mind, comedians are, you're either Kevin Hart or you're not.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And not all college kids, but lots of them are can see it that way. So when I first started doing colleges, a lot of people didn't come to my shows because you know I wasn't Kevin Hart. But now, right, you know, now that I'm bigger than Kevin Hart,
yeah. But he was on the podcast too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but I've done other podcasts though. So.
Oh yeah,
okay. Well, I don't like know this about Kevin. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But now that I'm just way bigger than Kevin Hart, then things are just, you know,
they're just taking off.
Yeah, I mean the college market is really wanting.
So people are coming out to the show.
The college market. what I was asking was do you guys find it hard to? Do you have to censor yourself for colleges because I mean I just they're so politically correct, colleges in particular.
I think there's a lot of comics that say, like, I think Chris Rock and Jerry both had things where they had said like, oh, it's, I won't do colleges because they're too PC,
right.
But also those guys are 20 something years older, 30 years, you know, than any college kid, so it's going to be tough to be able to say things that, you know, that you can, like, a lot of my material, I guess, has a lot to just do with who I am and the issues that I'm going through with my age or whatever. So it's much more relatable with a 5-year gap or three or whatever than, you know, than 30.
Totally.
Yeah.
You're 30 years old?
No, I'm 26.
Oh, cool. I thought you said you're 30.
No, like the 30-year gap between Jerry Seinfeld and college kids.
Gotcha. So I want to talk about AGT.
Okay.
Was that good times? Stressful? I've been on a reality show and it was not fun.
What reality show did you do?
It was called
America's Most Wanted.
Yeah. It was called
To Catch a Predator.
Yep. With Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen. I always love that he introduces himself. That's my favorite part about To Catch a Predator is once he gets it, like, if they know who Chris Hansen is, they're going to know when he's interviewing them about how perverted they are. It's not like he's going to say, well, I'm Chris Hansen, and this is whatever. And then they're like,
right,
oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
He always says his name. I think that like, before he charges them, like, with whatever, he always says his name. I think that's just so funny.
Usually they're just like, yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Love your show, man.
Love
your
fan.
Yeah, dude, huge fan, man.
Dude, can you autograph this really quick?
I touched so many kids to get here. And
yeah, the audition process for that show is grueling. Yeah, you got to touch a lot of minors. Hey, callback.
Hey. Wow, dude, this is a great callback. Which kind, though? Is that open to, like, the listener, probably?
Sorry?
Which kind of minor? Because remember you said...
Oh, right. Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
so
oh,
yeah, I was calling back your call.
I blew it, dude. Minors.
I'm just...
Wow, well, that callback crashed and burned.
I don't know,
coal
man.
Miners.
I could have done a college instead of being here. sorry, so what show did you do?
Yeah, it was called Funniest Wins with Marlon Wayans. Only lasted a season. And I was 1 year into comedy, and I told my manager, it was a comedy competition show, like involving video, stand-up, writing, a bunch of, all forms of comedy. I told my manager, I was like, I don't think I'm ready for this. It's like, right. I have like 8 minutes of material, and like, I got to the audition, and there were headliners there. Tiffany Haddish was on the show, who's massive now. Christina Pajitsky, who's headliner.
Right.
She's big. So I saw Tiffany and Christina there. I was like, oh, what the fuck? It's like, yeah. What am I doing here?
Right.
So I come up, my manager was like, I shouldn't do this. This is going to be bad. He's right. Like, just do it. You'll get a TV credit. That's the hardest thing to do. Get that first TV credit. And then got kicked off first.
Oh, no. That's a little hilarious.
I felt a little
and they
bit...
didn't even give him the TV credit.
Yeah, I know.
I got it. TBS.
Cool.
It's on my IMDb.
Nice, man.
I felt a little manipulated, though.
Yeah?
I got fucked over.
Oh.
By a Wayans brother.
Oh, dude.
Marlon Wayans fucked me.
Really?
Which is cool.
How old were you then?
I was 13. Yeah. I was a minor. Yeah. He didn't really, but I felt a little fucked over. I'll tell it real quick. The first challenge was to do stand up on a tour bus, like those sightseeing buses.
Oh, dude, that's not fun at all.
Right. It wasn't fun for anybody. I did okay with that, but it was like apparent. It was apparent on the show, like, oh, Ryan's struggling. Let's see how he does in round two, the next challenge, which was a 2 minute digital short. So I was making my short with Christina Pajitsky. It was super dark, super controversial, but really funny. And Marlon came in to like observe what we were doing so far. He was like, yo, this is really edgy, man. I would highly suggest making it clean. And we're like, oh shit, okay. So we made a PG sketch, not as funny, still funny, but just like so family friendly. Then in front of a studio audience to present our sketches, Marlon came out and he was like, I asked my contestants to make the edgiest sketches they could. So I look at Christina, I was like, oh, well, I'm going home tonight. So I felt a little fucked over.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what's tough is I feel like with like reality TV shows is like they have their agenda for you from the beginning.
Totally.
So it's kind of difficult to combat that. Like you can't beat the odds when they want to paint you a certain way. You know what
and
I mean?
And that's why you got so far, because it's like, oh, he's bringing in numbers. Let's have him almost win.
He's
people like him. We don't. He's not funny.
Yeah. That's exactly what they did. That's so. That's
hey,
so.
Ryan, you said he's our guest. Maybe don't trash him. So hard, oh, you know. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, my bad.
Sorry. Hey, I'm sorry about that.
Man?
You know, no. Just we.
No.
I'm so sorry about that.
I don't know what you. I don't know what you said, but I know.
Oh, okay,
I know
cool.
That I feel super welcome here.
Yeah.
I think what's like for me for being on that show. I personally was found it difficult just because you're more campaigning than you are competing. And that sounds kind of silly, but I just mean for a comedian especially, to be able to find something that is funny enough that it advances you, but is middle of the road enough that doesn't offend anyone.
Right.
There's something that's a line that's really difficult to toe just because, like as comedians, I feel like it's our job sometimes to push the envelope or try to see what we can get away with. And with that show, like I honestly had no idea I would certainly get as far as I had, but like they just, you know, that was what was so tough was like lots of the material that came out on that show was definitely about my voice, because that was all I knew to joke about, was just to be, oh, I'll just continue to be self-deprecating in hopes that can, you know, propel me further into the competition.
And who was the dude that won? What did he do?
He was a ventriloquist.
Oh, so, come on.
Jeff Dunham?
Yeah, I lost to Jeff Dunham.
So sorry.
He was on the podcast.
He was so good.
Yeah,
was he?
Was too, yeah.
Yeah, that's how he got on AGT.
Yeah, man, you guys, I can't wait till you guys start getting like A-list people.
Yeah, yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
but like A-list, yeah. So
Rachel McAdams after.
So yeah, so that was what was kind of you know, I guess a challenge for that.
Now, you had a girlfriend on the show at the time.
Yeah.
You are now single, right?
So single now.
Ladies.
Girls, females.
Lady.
All you one
lady.
you step Aunt Dina, I don't know. What would you say your primary demographic is? Is it
young ladies? Girls.
Young girls.
Mm.
Like minor
girls. Yeah. Yeah, like minors.
Minors.
Yeah.
Coal miner women.
Young. Mm. Mm-hmm.
About it, yeah.
So what's dating life like for you? I know that like I'm sure after shows girls are like, "I love you." And that helps. They already know you.
Yeah, but it, I mean, I guess, but it's like it's also it's difficult just because when you're on the road, like you know, like if you want to meet someone, like if you want to meet someone and that you genuinely have a good conversation with or whatever, yeah. Then that sometimes is more difficult to do. And also, like sometimes some of the people who are like some of the girls who would be old enough otherwise to get into the shows, but they're not because there's an age restriction. So it ends up being like the moms of the daughters yeah. come to the shows. So I'm saying I do really well with moms.
Nice, dude. Yeah. So you fuck a lot of moms. Cool.
Not that. Well, that's not what I said. I just said I do really well with them.
They like you a lot.
Yeah. Like I don't get into too many timeouts is what I mean.
Mm. All right. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
That's cool. Are you on the dating apps, bro?
No, I'm not. Are you?
Yeah, I had a girlfriend recently.
Oh.
So now I'm just back on, just out of pain.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow, man.
Just like, swipe on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, this sounds recent, man.
It is.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about it on
oh,
the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
This
has been a soapbox for heartbreak.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, give me the abridged.
I just dated a girl for just 3 months, but I fell for her. She fell for me, but she's got a lot of personal life issues.
Right.
She had a traumatic relationship prior to me. Right. Soon prior to me, and then she was like, "I can't do this because I like you so much, and I need to work on myself." That sounds like bullshit. But she was like, "I can tell I can marry you, and I'm not ready for that." She's 26.
Wow, she's 26.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
too old for you, probably.
Yeah, way too old. I need a coal miner.
That's crazy. Yeah, that was what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, oh, dude, don't say that. Like when they say I need to work on my, like just you know, I need to work on myself. It's not you. It's yeah. Like they give all the, you know,
yeah,
they
right.
give all of them at the same time. Mm. It's not you. It's me. I'm into my career. My heart's broke. I have trust issues. You don't take your shoes off in our apartment. You know all the stock yeah. ones. You know
why don't people just go like
your penis is really less than average.
Well, why don't they just say the like no, it's totally you. I just want to. I need out. Why don't they just yeah. say that? Like I would love that. If someone just said, no, it's you, I'm sorry.
Dude, do you know how much more I would love a chick? Like, if she was like, I can't do this because you're repugnant, I would be like, I love you. You
way more now.
I would cry so much harder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
I do believe her. I even asked her, I was like, are you just saying this to let me down easy? I was like, no, I really like you. I was like, well, then let's do this.
Right, and you, was did, like, and I you can't. Did it one last time, right?
Yeah, I was like, let's do this. And I was pointing at a minor in the corner.
Mm.
Man.
But yeah, luckily, you know, it all worked out because I got 2 hot minutes about the breakup,
dude. That is what's good. On a serious note, what I always find in my personal life is doing well, which it never has. If my personal life is doing well, I feel like stale on stage. But when my personal life is not doing as well, or if I'm struggling like with the imbalance of that, stand-up wise, it's a perfect conduit for you to be vulnerable or for you to examine possibilities for jokes, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people say, like I feel like a lot of people will be like, oh, you know, they'll say to me, they'll say, oh, well, your thing is like you make fun of yourself or you use like a shortcoming and you write a joke about that. But it's like, well, that's what we should kind of all be doing is just like isolating what's different about us or our experiences, and you know, because it's unique only to us, you know mm-hmm. what I mean.
Well, if not a shortcoming about yourself, then a shortcoming, or what you think is a shortcoming about, like, you know, the world at large, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean,
like, you're talking about shortcomings.
Yeah, we're talking about a lot of coming, this podcast.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I think it's like...
Some of which you're sitting on. I just had to do that callback.
Dude, that's
I'm
right.
sorry.
And inevitably, it's going to be tough to stand up because mm-hmm. I'm sticking.
Because of the stutter.
Cause,
oh.
No,
my bad.
No. That's a... I don't know how disabled you think I am, but I can definitely stand up. It's just, I was talking about my pants are stuck to your semen couch, so
right.
I can't. Oh man, it dries fast too. I think like ostensibly stand up is complaining. It's all that's so yeah. like even like with like my YouTube channel, a lot of I feel like one of the some people will comment and they'll say like I like his videos or whatever, but I hate that he's always like there's always like he's always complaining about something. I was like, that's where fucking comedy lives. Are you
yeah.
insane?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go up there and I'm just gonna be like, hey guys, nothing happened at all.
Everything's
this
great.
This morning was great. The coffee this was free. Like it's insane.
It's weird because I feel like a lot of the demographic on YouTube is typically like teenage girls or boys even, and they're going. I think the reason why they say like, why is he complaining all the time? Is because they're going through so much shit, like emotionally and physically, and just like. Yeah, so they want like YouTubers to be. I mean, the trend on YouTube is for people to be like, I'm positive.
Right,
like,
right.
Look, we're eating cake that was that's whatever, and or we're doing challenges that are all bleh, like, and it's for teenagers because they're going through so fucking much that they don't want added on top of that. Like, yeah, man, fuck this, fuck that. Some teenagers do.
Yeah,
like when I was a kid. When I was 14, I would watch stand up. I would watch George Carlin. I would watch Chris Rock, Louis C.K. because I was more like, I don't want things to be happy right now because they're not. I would much rather. I find more comfort in knowing that there's people out there that feel the same way I do.
Sure,
and that's what they were touching upon.
Yeah, and that's
instead of just trying to like wash it away with like, bubblegum pop, whatever the fuck, you know.
Yeah, splashy kind of. Like it looks like you're unaware, and also like stand up. Like I think what's great about it is that when you are talking about your problems on stage, like people get to forget about theirs for a second.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know that sounds sounds cliche, but that's kind of one of the strengths to it.
Yeah, I've found a difficult balance in like talking about sad things. Sometimes I'll get too sad.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
And then people, I'll hear. Girls in the audience be like, oh,
yeah.
I'm like, oops, I went too far.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you guys. So, how did you guys like transition from? Because you guys are both big viners, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, so how? I'm sure you've got this question, but like, how have you like transitioned from since they just decided to end it? Like, I know you guys have like other big social media platforms, but I just mean like, has that been difficult to?
Mm-hmm.
Be so good at like that thing, and then I don't know. Like,
you know, what's funny is that back when it was around, because I did it, we both did it for 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
Such a long time.
Yeah. And our brains were wired to think of ideas like that,
right.
That were like the structure of like of jokes.
Yeah,
and
in six seconds or whatever.
Yeah. My whole thought process throughout the day was thinking of different ideas for it.
Yeah,
and once it shut down, it just stopped. I don't think about ideas for it anymore. I just
really?
I haven't thought of a Vine idea for months and months and months.
I've never thought of a Vine idea. Like I always saw people do them, and I saw you guys do them and be really funny at them.
Mm.
And when I watched them, I'm like, I could have came up with that. But,
but
I could only come up with it after I've seen it done. I was like, I thought I could think that.
yeah. But so it shut off for me, and I think Rye. For you too.
I think it was shut off for us before it was even shut down.
It wasn't completely shut off. Like it was like kind of starting to like flicker like a light before it dies, like a light bulb. But it wasn't like off. But once it shut down, I was just like, okay, I don't have to, and I'm not going to anymore. I mean, what's the point?
Right.
But after that happened, I mean, what I do now is on YouTube. I write and direct these little short films that I'm sometimes in. And so I'm trying to do like one of those every couple weeks and that the thought process has changed to that now. Now it's just like, okay, now what's an idea for one of those and let's just see what happens with that. It's just kind of like changing the way that it's almost like changing the structure of what you think about, if that makes sense. Like before it was like, I think about Vine structure. Now I'm thinking about that instead. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And for me, I've been doing this past year, I've been doing mostly Instagram, which it's so much harder to grow on Instagram than it was on Vine.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, on Vine, you would gain like 10,000 in a day, 10,000 followers.
If you were at a point to where the algorithm was beneficial to you, where you get on a popular page.
Yeah.
So we were both like at a point where like you post like, it had to be good.
How many followers did you guys have?
He had like 6 million?
I had 6.5 by the end of it, I think. Yeah. 6.5 million.
I had 3.8.
That is crazy. crazy and for you, Brandon.
I mean, you know what's so funny
there's something to be said for second place too, right? But,
no, I mean, it was just like because I never felt it ever, because I know a lot of people went to a lot of Viners back when it was huge. Went to conventions, so they went to like Playlist and bunch of their fans would go to meet them. And so I never went to one, and I never experienced the, like, on a visceral, real level, like what it's like to have a lot of people know who you are. And so I don't, like, when they all went away, like the app, I was just like, okay. Because I never even experienced what that was like. Right. So I'm like, whatever, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, you'd get recognized in the street, though.
I get recognized, but it's not like...
Do you get recognized less now?
No, I actually get... I still get recognized the same amount. It's kind of weird. Yeah, it's weird.
Of YouTube?
It's because of YouTube and because people still...
Yeah.
People still, like... Vine's almost a nostalgic thing for a lot of people now. It's only been dead for a year.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I had some Vine fans come to a show last night. They told me, like, we drove from Vegas to see you. And I was like... Fuck, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, dude.
I hope you enjoyed my 12 minutes.
Yeah.
But also, they had a sister in town that they were visiting, so I was like, all right, thank you.
That's helpful. Yeah.
But, yeah, for me, it's been like a trying year of like having a huge platform. Right. I wish I shouted out my Instagram more, but I need to start doing YouTube, dude. I'm so back and forth on YouTube just because I know it will consume my life.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, like, what would you do on there? Like, yeah.
I have an idea for like a Rydune show, kind of like an Eric Andre show.
Yeah.
I think I can sustain that once a week. And then also we got this on YouTube, which is totally popping. It started like a week ago. We have like 600 subscribers, bro.
Wow. Wow, man.
Our engagement's good. We get like 1,000 views, 600 subs.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. I think this will probably grow if we keep doing it.
Yeah.
But I picture an Eric Andre type show.
Yeah.
And also I've written so many 1-minute sketches this past year for Instagram. I can be like, here's a sketch about this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing that's, I think, is really smart is, like, a lot of people are very smart at, like, cross-promoting their thing. Like, they have a YouTube channel. They can be like, and also follow me here for wherever for this engagement or whatever. Mm. You know what I mean?
How many times... So you do the dog vlogs?
With
the dog Stella?
Yeah, I do those twice a week. Okay. So those are twice a week that I do them. And
What days?
So I upload them on Monday and Thursday, but I film like a few days in advance just because the editing is so like it takes so long.
Yeah.
And I want it to be, I'm very meticulous when it comes to, and I used to edit them, but then I hired some people to do it now just because it's so much work.
Yeah, dude.
But like YouTube in a way has paid off more than like anything I ever would have imagined. Cause I've only been doing YouTube for like 2.5 years. So it's not a substantial amount of time. Mm-hmm. And my first year was the same year I did America's Got Talent. So it was kind of nice to be able to have like a small backlog of the videos that I had, where when I was on the show, a lot of, you know, that I was able to draw that traffic to there. And then, you know, I started the beginning of this year with only less than 300,000 subscribers, and so now we're past like, you know, a million or something.
Nice, dude. Beginning of this year?
Yeah, the beginning of this year.
And when was America's Got Talent?
2015. So that was so the beginning of 2015, I started my YouTube channel. And again, when you have an idea, you have no idea if it's gonna pick up or take off. Like, you just keep doing it. And there were so many times in the first year or year and a half I was doing it where I contemplated like even just quitting, because I was just like, you know, it's so much work. And
quitting YouTube.
Stopping doing the videos. Mm-hmm. And now I guess I'm glad I stayed with it. But
you know, I quit stand up for a month.
Really?
I did, because I was like, I have to do YouTube. That won't leave me any time for stand up. And it's like, I didn't need to. I had like a freak out. I've talked about it on the podcast. But then I did what I thought was my last show at the Improv. Mm-hmm. I was running the show, and then I realized like it made me so happy.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I can't quit.
Yeah, and you got to be able to do both, you know? Like, that's the thing is, like, you know, you talk about somebody like Louis, who he utilizes all of his platforms. Like, he has his own shows, and these guys, like even somebody like Marin, who his podcast is so huge, but people come out to his stand-up shows because they heard his podcast.
Totally.
You know, people will sometimes come out to my show because they watch our channel, and then people who don't know that I have a channel who come to my stand-up shows, like that draws traffic to the, you know, so it's kind of just each thing, and you got to be able to put on several different hats, you know? Like,
yeah, dude.
I feel like 10 years ago, you didn't have to be a hyphenate. You didn't have to be like, oh, you could just be an actor, or you could just be a director. Mm-hmm. But now, because we are able to control our own content in a way, we have to do that in addition to stand-up, in addition to acting, and it, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, like, if you want to be a stand-up comedian these days, you also have to be an editor, a producer, a director. You got to have your know how to fucking run all this equipment, which I don't. This hasn't been recorded.
That's true. Yeah.
But it's good to get to know you.
Yeah, this I'm holding up a banana.
But it's everything. I was just talking to Marlon Webb, who's an influencer, last night. I was like, dude, I think I have to either work nonstop or fail. And he's like, yeah, dude. Do you feel that way at all?
All the time. All the time. Like, I am tired, like, just constantly. Like,
yeah.
Especially with how much I tour. Like, it's crazy that I even find time to be able to film my vlogs.
Totally, dude.
Because, last week, for example, I had to go from, L.A. to the next night performing in North Carolina, to the next night performing in San Diego, to the next night performing in Boston. So I just went West Coast, East Coast, twice.
Hmm.
And it just felt like, and you're just like the second you start to think like, oh man, I made a good video this week on YouTube, then it's like, okay, well, what about Snapchat? What have you done for in Instagram? Yeah. Have you come up with a clever tweet? Have you? It's just it's constant. It's incessant.
Yeah.
And my goal is to get as big as somebody like what Ed Sheeran, as big as he is for music. Like, he doesn't have a phone, and he says it's the most cleansing thing ever. And for me, that would be most ideal, is just to be able to be like, oh, I could just do this, and then I don't need to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Do you drink?
Yeah. I mean, the mornings, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's how you get through.
In the afternoon, yeah. And sometimes at night. All the time at
it's
night.
It's all the time.
Yeah, all the time at night. Sometimes I wake up, I set an alarm for 3 a.m., have another swig, you know.
I drink occasionally. Why?
Yeah. I'm just wondering, because I've been thinking, like, I think maybe I need to stop drinking. Or, like, drink less. Because, like, the hangovers.
Yeah.
That leads to a non-productive day.
Yeah. What do you drink?
Just rubbing alcohol.
That's crazy.
It's alcohol.
It's higher percentage though.
Yeah. Sometimes bleach.
I don't know that there's alcohol in
no,
bleach.
He just said that as a cry for help.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You like chase it? Like you do like rubbing alcohol and then bleach.
You know, one time I almost drank bleach. There was a bottle of bleach in like a Nantucket Nectars bottle. Maybe that's not a Snapple bottle. That my mom had. It was just a Snapple bottle, but she did write bleach on it. But I had it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was like, what kind of Snapple is this?
Wow.
I was like, oh, Jesus. Bleach. Oh, so, like, had I not smelled it, I would have been like, it's a clear Snapple.
Wow.
So I almost fucking drank bleach, guys.
Wow.
Wow,
dude.
Wow, man.
You could have sued Snapple for
that. Your mom couldn't have just afforded the abortion? That's crazy.
Right. She tried. It was a little late. Yeah. But had I drank that bleach, maybe I would have gotten a stutter and things would be better for me.
Mm. Wow.
Is that insensitive?
No. It's clear. It's clear. Rise feelings about towards me.
I resent you. Just kidding. Do you bring somebody on the road with you?
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes I'll bring a few buddies, just because, like, first of all, I want to always be able to give like my friends opportunities. You know, like there's a lot of funny people I know that don't have like opportunities, so I feel that's a good thing. And then I also have I have meet and greet lines, so it helps them. They help like with like shirts and merch and like pictures and stuff. So
lovely.
So
I think we're just about wrapping up. Oh, I have one insensitive question. Pretty sure this is insensitive.
Insensitive. Okay.
Is there a stutterer community out in the world?
Like,
I'm not saying, do you go to stuttering conventions, like dwarf conventions?
Yeah. Well, I do go.
Wait, there are dwarf
conventions? I do go to dwarf conventions.
You just go there.
there is, I think it's the NSA, natural. It's the natural. It's organic stutters. No, the National Stuttering Association.
And
I've been to a few meetings, and they just kind of have people that talk about like their experiences, and those meetings are particularly difficult for me to go to, just because there's a lot of people there that they're very. They're a little baffled, or they're impressed, I guess, with the fact that I was able to, that I made like a thing, a positive thing that people struggle with every day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it feels just like a lot of pressure to me to be able to be like, why do this and this? And there's adults who have it. There's kids who have it. So it's just it's a pretty cool, community. And I have a lot of like, speech people who come out to my shows, and they'll give me which is nice, but it's also like, please don't, I don't need you to fix me. Like I'm fine, good with the way I am.
Oh, you're saying like speech people who,
there are people who stutter who come to my shows, but there are also people who are like, I'm a speech pathologist and you should try breathing this. And I'm like,
I'm sure you've heard it all before.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not insensitive at all.
Okay, cool. I'm just a curious boy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's super offensive to dwarves, but not to me. All
right, cool. So, stand up. Let's close it out. You're going to be on my show December 6th at the Hollywood Improv.
Yes.
Fuck yeah! Nice.
December 6th. It'll be in. It's in. This was my early Christmas present from Rye Dune. He was like, "Hey man." Do you want to come talk to some foreigners? Yeah. There are a lot of people from that out of the country at the last show. So
yeah, they weren't great.
Quite a language barrier, which I'm already prone to there being a language barrier. So it was they did well for
you. Fit right in.
I fit. So I'll come watch the show on December
6th. Oh, cool. Yeah. You'll be in the audience.
I will be in the audience.
All right, cool. And this time I had a scheduling conflict. I'll give you more than I think. Only 10 minutes, bro.
I don't care.
Give you like 11 minutes, bro.
Dude, I'll be able to get in another setup.
Yeah. no punchline. But where can people find you? You're at the Drew Lynch on everything?
I am. I'm you gonna find me right now. I'm in Rye's apartment.
Yeah.
It's in the greater Los Angeles area. So
please help. Please find me.
Yeah, if someone could come untie this rope, that'd be great. there's a gag ball that I think he'll be using.
And the semen that you're sitting in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really the adhesive that's been keeping me here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can follow me on my social media. It's the Drew Lynch on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. It's the someone took Drew Lynch, so I had to be, all right, the.
Bastards.
It's
not,
yeah. The Drew Lynch.
And it's not the either, because the seems
pretentious.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Drew Lynch.
The
Drew Lynch.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're gonna upload this on Wednesday, so where are you going to next, like stand-up?
I'm going to Erie, Pennsylvania, because my agent hates me. So I'm going to go there, and then the week after that, I'm in Canada. So
nice.
So, yeah.
Canada.
Canada.
Dope sauce.
Cool. Well,
thanks. Can you guys do me, because you guys are both very character driven, can you guys both do your best accent? Like, what's the best accent that you could do?
Brandon actually doesn't do a lot of characters.
I don't do
really?
It.
Let's hear
much
it.
Of any. Hey, what's my name is Vlad, and I go to the place where my friend made sex to my mother's goat.
Really good Jamaican.
Yes, I come from Jamaica. man, I don't fucking know.
Really good.
And yeah. I really like to do a over-the-top British accent.
Oh, please.
It's like, hello, hi, hi, have you enjoyed your water? I'm funnier than you.
No, they're both good. It's the face that you made when you do the accent.
Hello. You know, one time I went to a concert. I was 21, and I used a British accent to hit on girls.
Uh-huh.
Not that intense. I was
and it worked.
It worked.
Oh, I'm sure it worked.
It's kind of gross, but I made out with 7 girls that night.
Wow,
isn't that gross?
They were also British.
They were also minors.
What? Oh.
All right.
And the Tie the Bad Back.
Sorry, Dad podcast, guys.
That's a sick callback. Three callbacks. I mean, the same callback.
It's the same. Count it. Same. I count it.
Well, Drew, thanks for being here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, bro. Pounding it's.
Nice.
All right. That's it. Thank you for listening. Assuming we upload this.
Thank you for, yeah. Thank you for being, if you're, yeah. Thank you for having their ears.
What, are you going to press delete right there, Brandon?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to put press the trash icon.
You know, all right, it's just space bar.
Space bar? All right.
Control and
page. Wait. Let's all say I'm sorry, Dad, on the count of four.
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. Can I get I need a head start. So you on the, I'm going to go on two.
All right. One.
I'm sorry, Dad.
That counts. I'm sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.